Hey everybody, welcome to the Valley Outdoors. We got Don in the house.
I'm here.
Ava's here.
I'm here as well.
I'm here. I'm Eric. We are going to bring you one of the most fantastic broadcasting shows in the sports world you've ever experienced in your life. And how do I know that, Don?
I have no idea.
Cool stuff. We're going to talk about some coolers today. I thought it might be appropriate.
Okay.
We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in a survey coming out of Michigan regarding hunting. And we're also going to be looking at a lot of cool things, but one is going to be talking ice out. We're going to have a little conversation about that.
Sure.
And a whole ton more when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Good morning, Don and Ava. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Doing good.
Fantastic. I know I look at outside and not that we want to be weather specific, because sometimes the show plays at different times, different places, but we've got a stretch here that looks like it's going to be damp. Rain.
Temperature's improving, though.
Temperature's improving, stabilizing.
Yes.
Stabilizing, which I prefer rather than 92 degrees and then X amount of time below that. But I think when I'm looking at what our next step in the outdoor progression as it goes into spring is ice out.
Well, yeah, and that you know, happens at various times. Especially, I mean, we're in Minnesota, you know, and I mean, it's the same all across the Midwest, depending upon what latitude you're at.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
I think she's going to be late this year for some reason. And, you know, I think it's going to be an issue in the northern part of our state anyway, probably in a few of the others.
Our state being Minnesota, where we broadcast from, but we love to obviously pull out stories from all different parts of the Midwest. I think, good point, Don, and I think you and I talked a little bit about it off air. When you're looking at that latitude, it's going to be the same across if you're, we're talking about International Falls or Lake of the Woods, it's going to be equal to Devil's Lake. We're looking more towards the middle of the state. That's more towards the Sakakawea, Sharp category, Wahi kind of thing. And, you know, so you've got a lot of different similarities across the Midwest. I do have to laugh, though, when you're looking at a week and a half ago, I was at Montana, and we got a foot and a half of snow.
Oh, yeah.
So
altitude has something to do with
really
it, too.
It really does.
Yeah.
It really does. But the story comes out from the DNR, various points in the area. Of course, one of the bigger lakes in the Midwest is Lake Mille Lac, as far as going on a fishing opener. They say that Agate Bay this last week showed that the Mille Lac ice is in peril. Not people, the ice. It looks like that the delayed ice out in northern Minnesota is going to be happening by May 13th. It should happen most everywhere, which is pretty cool, meaning it's going to be out by the opener, I should say. Fishing opener in Minnesota is the 13th. Things are looking up. Ice out progression across the state and the region is definitely working its way north. And I think, obviously, with the number of cooling days we had this year, it was pretty extensive as far as how much ice there was. A couple of stories coming out of Black Duck. Timberline Sports and Tackle said a lot of people are getting nervous. They hope to be ice-free by this coming weekend. And Upper Red, just up the road from Black Duck, could also be one that's going to have an ice out. Green Lake, more of the central part of the state, was nearly ice-free, end of last month, but not completely. So that's going to be get some reports there.
They should be fine for the opener.
Yeah. One of the things that's important when it comes to this time of year, too, is are you able to get live bait? Minnows, that can be difficult because you have to trap them. And it looks like that should be a good thing this year as opposed to past years, which is kind of a bit of a problem. Wind has helped a lot in breaking up the ice and pushing it. I saw a lot of photos from Mille Lacs. I don't know if you saw those, Don, but
I've seen some satellite photos, and for the most part, your larger lakes, from what you could see via satellite, is the northern maybe quarter of the lake had some opening to it. So then if the wind picks up, that can help move that around. And same thing up in Lake of the Woods, I understand the big lake, Traverse Bay.
Yeah, there's a lot of key things.
That's starting to open, but...
And I think across the state, they basically said it mirrors somewhat what it was last year. Southern Minnesota was about a week behind, and going on that route, I know that all the way up north into Cab and that area, a little questionable. But historical perspective, consider Lake Mille Lacs earlier this last week, ice out was yet to happen, according to Climatology Office. The median ice out date is April 25th. Earliest ice out occurred 26th of March 2012, and the latest was May 16th, in 2013. This year, several states saw several latest ice outs recorded, and Mille Lacs ice out records date back to 1950. Cold winters obviously experienced in 2013 have helped that record scenario. And the last couple of months, obviously it depends on how late we get the cold like we had. For the record, Lake Vermilion median ice out dates April 30th. The latest ice out date was May 23rd. They say the DNR says delayed ice out is having effects on the walleye egg take operations through when the nets are set. Obviously, they can't get the nets out. And should be a rather interesting period of time because everybody gets a little anxious when they plan their trips to go up north. And I know last year I was going to do a charity trip up to Cab. And
an opener?
For veterans, yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Take your skis along. Take your cross-country skis along.
Yeah, well, they had to cancel that event. So.
Last year? And yeah. I'm guessing this year, too. I'm thinking that there's still a fair amount of snow on the ground up that way.
Yeah, no, there definitely is, and I'm not a big fan of pushing the old Vexus out onto the ice floe.
Right.
There's ice fishing, and then there's ice fishing.
Right. One's in a boat and one's not.
Yeah. The only other fishing for ice is fishing for a cube out of your beverage that you're going to have, whatever that might be.
Right.
That's.
It looks like going next week, though, that the temperatures are going to warm up during the day anyway.
Yep.
So.
And the warm rain helps, too. We got rain forecast the whole week.
Yep.
I hope your weekend is not a washout, as it's saying there's going to be some of that stuff going on. But, hey, tell you what, hang tight, guys. We're going to talk about best coolers in the country, things that you should buy for your use, because we're going to target what things are important to you. And talk about a Michigan survey regarding hunting. Hang tight. For all you multimedia wizards out there, you've got a lot of places to look for us. One is where, Don?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Facebook as well. And feel free to send us some photos. There's got to be some big fish photos. Send it to info@TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Or turkeys.
I was going to say turkey.
Yeah, turkeys too. Yeah. Very cool. Or any type of a pick you want.
Yeah, I've heard of some nice ones getting taken this year. Yeah, in the 25-pound range, that's a nice turkey.
Pretty cool stuff.
I saw one the other day. They had two beards. You ever seen one of those? It had like a
double bearded.
It had a 10.5-inch beard, and then it had about another 5-inch, about 2-3 inches behind it.
Never weird.
The person that shot it said he'd never seen one either.
When one is not enough.
Yeah. Well, 10.5 inches is a nice beard.
Two. That's a twofer.
That's yep.
They had a sale going on that day, which is a good thing. Speaking of sale and buying, coolers. How many coolers do you have in your garage, Don?
Half a dozen.
I was just going to... I had the same thing.
I got two in my truck right now.
It's the dumbest thing. Ava, how about you?
I don't know. I have lots of, like... I use little coolers for, like, lunch boxes.
Right.
You know?
How about bigger ones?
We only have one decent-sized cooler.
Yeah, what's that you're talking about? I probably got a dozen or better.
I'm talking regular coolers. It's going to be the smaller to, right. to bigger cooler.
We have one, like this big. Not the big one, but, like,
I mean,
big.
I've got hard-sided, soft-sided.
I'm talking...
Depends upon what I'm doing.
It could be hard-sided, soft-sided. I've got two soft-sides. I've got... six
hard
regulars. I've got one with wheels on it when I know I'm going to roll down a long dock.
Oh, I mean, I've got four of the coffin coolers.
Yeah. No. That's what I mean.
The big ones.
You've got a cooler's a cooler, but here's my point.
Okay.
Let's reel it in and get back to the point. You can go out and buy a cooler for $19.99 or $29.99, right? The problem is that they just don't keep ice.
No.
So we're going to talk about criteria, what to look for, and trying to meet your need, which is always an important thing.
That's simple.
Best fishing coolers for 2023, keeping food, beverage, and catch chilled wherever you wet a line. Now, what are the differences you'll find between north and south? And I travel a lot down in the southern part of the country, and what you're going to find is that they don't put fish in a live well. They put them on ice. They catch them, they throw them right on ice. Not bass, but, you know, if you're doing offshore kind of things. So that's where the difference comes in with the fishing side of it. So keep that in mind. So a lot of things go around, whether you're fishing from Mexico to Canada. This particular individual really did go into some detail on the methodology for picking coolers. And I thought it was quite impressive. But... let's just jump into it. Go ahead.
There's only one purpose. It's to keep whatever you're trying to cool, cool. For as long as you can.
See, Ava.
Let's not.
You give him the book, he eats the cover.
We don't need to make this scientific.
Oh, my God.
All right. So best, I'm just going to give you the top ones right now.
Okay.
Best small cooler, if you're familiar with the angle cooler.
I'm not.
Okay. Angle makes a cooler, but they also make live bait, carry on,
oh, yeah,
you
yeah,
bring
yeah.
it into your boat.
Yep.
It's got the mesh and it's got the aerator to it and everything.
Yeah, I
got to
count them too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
But yep, yep.
I went up one.
So, Angle 25, high performance hard cooler and ice box. They do a great job. I love it. The fit and finish, the clasps for the buckles are great. The handles don't break. Very impressive. Best large cooler, Yeti Tundra 65. It is probably one of the best as far as keeping things cold. They do a remarkable job. I've also noticed when you have the mug, it does the same thing. It does an amazing job of keeping things cold. Best on wheels, Yeti Tundra Haul Hard Cooler. So you've actually got wheels on it. That's one of the biggest issues that comes into play.
Having to carry it.
You get a big cooler, and people don't think about it. Well, I'm going to get this big cooler.
You have to know that those types of coolers...
they sit.
Well, but empty. And the reason I bring this up is because I do fly-in type trips to Canada. Yeah. And when you go, you need to be able to cool your food for up to, say, 5 to 6 days.
Yeah.
So these work for that. But the factor is you have weight.
Yeah.
The cooler itself, empty, dry, is 25 pounds.
I know. That's where. And when you're looking at the Yeti coolers that are the big ones, they're more.
Yes. I mean, you're probably talking 35 to 40 pounds.
40 pounds just for the cooler.
Yes.
And there's no way you can get that down the dock.
And
all right?
You put 80 pounds or the whatever in there.
It doesn't work. So best cooler for boats, the Coleman 316 series. It's 100 quarts, marine, and it's wheeled cooler.
I don't need a 100 quart cooler in my boat.
Again,
if you're a charter captain or something like that,
there you go.
Out on Lake Erie or something like that. That's
best kayak cooler. Kayak fishing is a big thing right now.
Yep.
Not in my world.
That's what my husband wants. A good kayak.
There's a lot of people that are
the kayak. Can you picture me on a kayak?
Don, I wasn't going to go there, but if you really want me to go there, yeah, I did picture you in a kayak.
Didn't work,
I actually laughed
inside. After all that weight you've lost, yeah, I can see you in there.
Don, I was laughing inside. I was just now.
Quit it. Be nice.
I couldn't help it. He's the one, can you picture me? And I said, you know what?
You're supposed to be a supportive friend.
I am a supportive friend.
Say, did you... You know what takes me away from that? There's
what?
The photo out there of the guy that's kayak fishing in the ocean.
Yeah.
As that one of those great big whales comes up and...
Oh.
And decided that was a fish. There. Can't do that in my 18-foot boat. Well, probably could, actually.
You could, Don.
I won't put it in the ocean. There's no fish that's good.
Don, the image of you in your 18-foot boat is much better than you in a kayak.
Yeah, when we talk safety, yeah, you bet.
And other things. All right, moving right along. Best cooler with rod holders. So if you're going to do shore fishing, you can carry your fishing rods and put them in a rod holder. Is the Angle UC30. Angle has another cooler that has actually rod holders attached to it, so that's pretty cool. Best cooler in a budget is a Buffalo Gear insulated fish bag. I like soft cider bags. I just really do.
Well, I've been, we had two of them along on our last fly-in trip because one, they're so light and they'll keep things cold as long.
Yep. Okay. So here's how the choices were made in those picking those. Purpose served. Multi-use functionality is important. The first consideration was the primary purpose. What is it going to be primarily used for? The second thing, construction. Fishing gear is an investment. Agree?
Yes.
Okay. Material, design, construction processes used directly impact the cooler's insulating capacity and durability. Optimal performance and longevity are the goals. Prime example, a Yeti. They completely fill in the voids with foam. It is a foam that is a insulating foam. Size and capacity. A cooler must have the capacity needed for the fishing party it serves, whether it's a vehicle for food and beverage or freezer for fresh caught fish. If the storage space is limited, it needs to fit without affecting functionality. In other words, if you have a 16-foot boat and you have a 120-quart, 150 or 200-quart cooler, it doesn't work so well, except if you want to use it as a bench seat.
I have a, I think it's only a 16 quart, maybe 20 quart. Nah, that'd be too big. Probably a 16 quart in my boat.
The other thing was ice retention. A cooler must be able to keep its content cold for the needed duration of the fishing adventure. Best coolers minimize the need for frequent addition of ice. Well, that's obvious.
Right.
And, of course, transport methods. Coolers aren't great. You can't get them to where they need to be. In each category, evaluation of function and construction, the cooler's handles and how to carry it were also considered. So... pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I literally take beef loins on trips that we go that are, you know, sealed, and I can put them on ice and they will last a full week.
That's
before
fun.
The ice is gone.
Yeah,
that's if you don't open it. Now, if you keep the guys from throwing beer in it, that shortens it up a bit.
Well. The big Yeti Cooler 65, it says 7 days or more of ice retention.
Yeah.
Which is pretty darn cool.
Yep.
All right, hang tight, guys. We're going to be right back. We got some cool stories coming right up. Hang tight.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
So, Don, the reports, obviously, we look at a lot of different reports post-hunting, finding out participation, harvest rates, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we teased it in the top of the show, and we were talking about Michigan had recently had a survey that went out, mail-in survey, regarding the harvest and number of hunters. And in this particular result, the total preliminary harvest estimated from all seasons in 2022 is 331,240 whitetail, which is down. This is kind of crazy, except when you dive into it, it's down 16% from 2021. And I think we all probably could create a correlation.
Right.
Everybody was
dying to get outside
COVID's, scenario. According to the test, the mail surveys of random deer hunters, harvest numbers and hunter numbers, they were all down during the 2022 season. Results from the return surveys are still very preliminary, the DNR said. We do have an adjustment factor for the lower response rates because we tend to overestimate success because people often who return the surveys were the successful ones.
Sure.
They like to say, hey, I got one. The DNR sent out 61,000 surveys this year. Response rate continued its downward trend as only 19,000 responded.
Don't they have to register them?
Yeah, but it doesn't talk about participation and the rest of it. It's kind of weird.
Yep.
And they're talking about getting rid of mandatory registration in Michigan, too. A total of 586,323 people purchased a deer hunting license in Michigan in 2022, which is 33% down from 1995.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder why.
1.5% decline from 2021. Of that, 515,135 actually hunted, which is a 4% decline over 2021. Since 95, we've seen a gradual decline in the number of people buying deer licenses, despite the youth hunt, the mentored hunt program, and an emphasis on recruiting. The youth hunt numbers have declined about 22% as well since 95. Last year, 71,850 youth age 16 and under purchased a hunting license. In the last decade, we've seen a steep decline in youth participation of about 5%, he told the commission. By season, there was an estimated 444,000 firearms hunters in 2022, 274,000 archery, 112,000 muzzle loader, and 69,800 hunters during the late antlerless season, 21,000 for the Liberty Hunt, 13,196 for the early antlerless hunt, 2,100 for the urban archery, and 2,500 for the independence hunt. Overall, comparable numbers and hunters we've had since 60. It's about comparable because it had a big spike in that period of time up to 95, Don. They anticipate by 2030s, we'll probably have half the number of hunters we had at this peak in the 90s. And, of course, being down, we're 33% from 95. We'll probably be down 50% in the 2030s. With declining numbers, it's hard to say what's going to happen and what we need to do to maintain the harvest. Preliminary harvest estimate from all seasons, as I said, was 331,000 whitetails. So 16% down. We saw declines in northern lower Michigan down 18% and southern lower Michigan down 16%. And firearm season saw 9% harvest decline, archery 22% harvest decline, and muzzleloader 20% harvest decline.
Wonder how that compares to other states in the Midwest.
I don't know.
I was down in the number of hunters. And
I'm looking at getting some of those numbers. So it's not like they're easily obtained. I will say that when they try to put some numbers out.
Well, every state, I'm sure, does a recap of what happened in the season as far as total harvest.
Absolutely.
And that's really, it's the number of hunters and the total harvest are the really only two numbers that.
Yeah, I don't know if they. I don't know if Minnesota does a survey like this.
I think they do.
So
Wisconsin,
a mail-in survey.
I mean, it's and I don't know.
They do an analysis, but I don't know if it's a mail-in like they did here.
No.
Or I should say mail-in. I don't know if it was emailed or mailed. That's I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I haven't seen the survey, so I'm not sure what they were looking for, other than the
Did you hunt? Did you were successful? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So. Yep. Coming back on a story we did last week regarding legislation that's going to be switching or eliminating the shotgun required season in the southern part of the state. Rob Dreisland, friend of the show, just recently published this last article in Outdoor News. Rifles versus shotguns. Last year, legislation nearly became law, eliminated shotgun-only rule for deer hunting in southern Minnesota. Rob criticized the language because it would have allowed county boards to opt out, therefore banning shotguns in a county-by-county basis.
Banning shotguns?
Well,
banning rifles.
Banning a shotgun only, meaning...
Right.
Right? So, which means you would be... Or I should say banning rifles. So
yes.
Some counties would have say, no, I don't want to have a rifle in my county, and they could right. opt out. Right. Here's the problem. No matter how you feel about the issue, reasonable people would agree that a hodgepodge, some county yes, some county no, to rifles would be an absolute disaster. Because you can be hunting in one county and suddenly wander off in another county and not realize it, and you're in big trouble. Problem patchwork in this particular scenario. Steve Groskowski from Mazeppa added language that will eliminate shotgun zone, right? We talked about that. But there's already three counties in the state that have said we're opting out of that. We're only shotgun only already. So it's going to be hodgepodge, not good, and something we're definitely going to have to follow down.
Keep an eye on that.
Yeah, definitely for sure. Hey, thanks for joining us, you guys. Wow, it's amazing how fast the show goes. And we appreciate you guys hanging out with us. For Don, Ava, and myself, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors. Join us next week. It's going to be fantastic. Trust me, you'll like us. See ya.